We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 18th episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow my personal Twitter account. It is at Italiano Calcio. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast. It is at The Calcio Corner. So we will start off this 18th episode of The Calcio Corner Podcast by talking about the closure of the transfer market. It was a busy final day on Monday. We finally got the conclusion to some, you know, moves that have been rumored about for a while. And we'll start off with the big transfer that happened on Monday. Federico Chiesa, he officially joined Juventus. So in the end, Chiesa gets his wish a year later than what he wanted. Obviously, he wanted to join Juve last summer, but in the end, he does get his way. Rocco Commisso wasn't able to convince Chiesa, you know, about this project he's putting together in at Fiorentina. And Chiesa, he could potentially cost Juve up to 60 million euro if all bonuses are met. Not a crazy price tag for a player that has the ceiling that Chiesa has, in my opinion. Now, this move has been met with a lot of criticism, mainly because there are a lot of people who have different takes and opinions on Chiesa. There's, you know, the one side that believes he's an overrated player, and they look at this move as a bad move, as potentially 60 million euro wasted by Juve. And then there's those who believe that he's this special talent. And I tend to be more on the side that he is a special talent. Obviously, we saw plenty of glimpses of that while he was in Florence. And now that he's joining Juve, a much more talented side like Juventus, you know, the expectation is certainly going to be higher for him to showcase that talent and be more consistent with that talent. You know, at Fiorentina, Chiesa, he kind of could hide behind the fact that he wasn't on the most talented team. He didn't have a tremendous amount of talent and supporting cast around him. So he could kind of, you know, use that as an excuse for why he may have some swings in his performance and, you know, have a few run of games where he wasn't that dominant type of player or that special talent that some of us believe he could be. But, you know, he doesn't have that excuse anymore. He's at a top club like Juve now. He's playing with players like Ronaldo in attack, like with Dybala, with Kulusevski, and, you know, some other great talents on that team. So, you know, Chiesa has to deliver. He's kind of put this big target on his back. You know, he wanted Juve. He wanted to join the big club. He wanted to join a team that's built to win titles. And now the expectation from the Juve fans are, you know, come here, come perform, score goals, create chances for this team. Be ready to sacrifice yourself for the greater good of the team. And, you know, now it's all up to Chiesa to see if he could deliver on that. I do think that Chiesa will end up playing well at Juve. I mean, you know, it might not be a smooth transition right away and hit the ground running. A lot of depends on how Pirlo's going to utilize him. Pirlo is obviously learning how to be a coach. We've seen that already in just their first 2 games that they played. In particular, that Roma game, you know, making some substitution mistakes, maybe some questionable moves with his lineup. So, you know, we've seen some potential variations of what Pirlo could do with his lineup. You know, we've seen variations of a 3-4-3 formation where Chiesa could potentially play as that right winger up front. He could be utilized more as one of those right wing backs and play a little bit deeper. We've also seen variations of a 3-4-1-2 formation. And Chiesa could, again, be used as that right wing back or perhaps even up front as one of those two strikers, maybe alongside Cristiano Ronaldo with Dybala tucked in behind them. So there's a lot of, you know, possibilities with what Pirlo could go with. And I think we're going to see him over the next few games experiment with those lineups. And certainly in training, he'll experiment with them. But ultimately, you know, you got to really showcase them in games, and that's where you're going to get your best feel for what works and doesn't work. So, you know, Pirlo has to figure out what his best lineup is. And I kind of do like the notion, the possibility of Pirlo playing Ronaldo, Dybala, Kulusevski, and Chiesa all out there together. Again, how he orients those players within his formation, if Chiesa is going to be asked to play a little bit deeper and further back from, you know, from goal, we'll see. But I do think that that kind of presents the best opportunity for Juve. I feel like it gives them their most threatening combination. There's a lot of pace on that team, a lot of ability to whip in the ball. And it's kind of funny because Juve were obsessed this whole summer with bringing in a striker. You know, went from Dzeko to Milik and Milik to Dzeko. Luis Suarez was a legitimate target, and they ended up signing Alvaro Morata. But like I said, I feel like their best lineup for Pirlo is not even using Morata. I feel like it is a combination of Ronaldo, Dybala, Kulusevski, and Chiesa. So we'll see what Pirlo ends up choosing. But again, I don't dislike this move. Obviously, as always, you know, it's going to take time to judge this move and see how Chiesa settles in at Juve. But he's only 22 years old. Sky's the limit. He's obviously one of the best young talents Italy has to offer. So it's nice that he is going to stay in Italy. Let's see if he's ready to make that move now at 22 years old with the experience he gained in Florence, if he's ready to make that move to Juve. You know, so I'm not knocking this move. I know there has been, again, that mixed criticism that they think that this was a bad signing for Juve, that the price tag was too much. He's kind of a redundant player. They already have similar players like a Kulusevski, who they just got this summer from Parma. But again, I think that if you play those four players, Ronaldo, Dybala, Kulusevski, and Chiesa, some variation of those four players in attack, I think it could really present a very special attack, almost one similar to what we kind of saw at Napoli the past few seasons with, you know, Mertens, with Insigne and Callejon. No real pure striker, but just a lot of pace, a lot of talent, ability of those players to cut inside and whatnot. And that's what I think that Pirlo could get with Ronaldo, Dybala, Kulusevski, and Chiesa. So I like this move. I'm really intrigued to see what Pirlo does with his lineup going forward. So that's certainly something to pay attention to going forward. As for Inter, they certainly made some signings that they feel could help them win the Scudetto. Again, we think of the Kulusevski and the Chiesa moves with Juve. They're certainly still eyeing the present moment, but also given their young ages, you know, they're also looking towards the future and trying to set themselves up, you know, short-term, but also long-term. Inter made kind of moves a little bit more narrow-minded, more oriented towards winning the Scudetto, either this season, next season. You know, with the final 2 years left on Conte's contract, they brought in Vidal, Kolarov. Hakimi is certainly a young player, so he kind of goes against that mold. But we've already seen how special Hakimi could be for this team. I know a while ago, before a lot of these moves, he was my number one signing. I'm still very high on that signing. But I think Inter did a good job. They didn't really lose anyone of significance. I think it was a good idea for them to keep Skriniar. Whether or not Conte really will utilize him a lot this summer, this season, we'll see. But I think it was a good idea for them to keep him. He's too good of a player to give up, especially just because Conte may not be super comfortable with him. Skriniar is young enough that, you know, if Conte, say, only lasts another year or two at Inter, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. You know, you're probably going to want to have Skriniar on your team for that next coach, because they could certainly find a spot for him, because he is a special talent. So I thought Inter did a good job. I know there was a disappointment that they didn't sign Sandro Tonali, that he ended up joining Milan. But I think Inter made some good moves. Like I said, they brought in some good experienced players, and their goal is to try to win that Scudetto this season. So they, not that they don't care about the future, but they do already have some young talent on that team. So they were in a position where they could add veteran players that Conte wanted, that he thinks is going to help them win the title. Another move they did make was bringing in Matteo Darmian from Parma. Obviously, we saw Candreva leave, and he joined Sampdoria. So we'll see what Conte does with some of these new pieces that he has at Inter. Roma finally officially signed Chris Smalling from Manchester United. Not that it was a move that I don't think anyone really doubted would happen, even though there were some moments of doubt. But in the end, Chris Smalling gets what he wants. He only really wanted to join Roma, obviously, where he played on loan last season. The Roma fans really wanted him. And if you recall, back when Friedkin officially bought the club and I released an episode, I said that if I was Dan Friedkin, one of the moves I would definitely make is signing Chris Smalling, because again, he had a good season at Roma last season. He wanted to return. The Roma fans, most of them at least, wanted him to come back. So it was a perfect match. And I said for Friedkin, it would be a nice way to kind of endear himself to the fans and get that their kind of support behind them, bringing in a player that they really want and a player that wanted to be here, be at Rome. So good move for them. So they bring in Smalling. They signed Kumbula. So they're bringing in some new guys to kind of bolster up that defense. Obviously, we know the Pedro sign here, that superb goal this past week in Serie A. So I think anyone who thought that Pedro was just kind of going to come here, enjoy life in the capital city and whatnot. I mean, we've seen these veteran players join Serie A clubs like Ribery last summer, joining Fiorentina, even the impacts he's made in the first few games of this season. You know, some of these veteran players are able to come to Serie A and make an impact, and I think Pedro's certainly going to do that for Roma, so that was a good signing on a free transfer. They kept Jordan Veretout, which was a good decision for them. We saw how special he could be in their previous game against Juve. They ended up keeping Dzeko, whether or not Roma fans are happy or not. I know Dzeko is a beloved figure there. Certainly a good player that could score goals, and when he's in that lineup, he makes the club so much more dangerous. You know, if they were able to maybe get 10 to 15 million euro, which is what was being talked about as a potential price tag, had Juve purchase him, for a player of his age, that would have been a nice amount of money to bring in for him. But he ends up staying, and again, with him in that lineup, it certainly transforms the team. But I think they got a good thing going in Rome. I really love the Kumbula signing. I think long-term, that'll be one of the better moves that when we look back at the summer moves. Chris Smalling, again, he had a great season last year at Roma. He wanted to be here, so I know Roma fans are happy. I think all in all that, you know, did they make a big splashy signing? No, although the Kumbula signing is a really good signing, but I think all in all, Roma fans should be happy with the mercato that they had in their first year with Dan Friedkin as their owner. Napoli, one of their moves that they made on Monday was they signed Bakayoko on loan from Chelsea, and it was interesting. So they signed him, I'm pretty sure it was a dry loan. Just they had to pay maybe 2 million euro, I think, for the loan. And it's interesting because I know Milan really wanted him. He had played at Milan a few seasons ago. They've been working all summer to try to work out a deal with Chelsea. And sometimes they were set to be close to signing him. But it's kind of interesting that in the end, Chelsea accepts like a 2 million euro loan. If Milan really wanted him, you just wonder why they didn't make that type of offer. But Bakayoko at Napoli, I think, is a great move. Gattuso has a nice variety of players to choose from in his midfield with Zielinski, Bakayoko now, Fabian Ruiz, Diego Deme. They have a lot of talent in that midfield. We know Osimhen up front has proven to be a real big threat. Lozano's really come to life in his second season at Napoli. He's finally getting a fair crack there. So I do like what Napoli did with Bakayoko, with Osimhen. And they didn't really lose anybody, right? So we were kind of surprised a bit, I think, to see Koulibaly end up staying at Napoli. I don't have a problem with that. I know that there was maybe some Napoli fans out there that said, like, you know, sell him, get 60 million euro, get 70 million euro. But, you know, De Laurentiis never got the offer that he was comfortable selling Koulibaly with. Napoli aren't in a position where they need to sell financially. So that's kind of a strength of this club that they don't need to sell. Obviously, they're fighting to finish in the top four and qualify for the Champions League. They certainly think that they could win the Scudetto, even though many people aren't throwing their name out there in that category as Scudetto contender. So I don't think they have any problem with keeping Koulibaly. I don't think De Laurentiis will regret this. Again, he wants to win the Scudetto. He wants to qualify for the Champions League. Having Koulibaly is only going to help. And again, if you weren't getting the offer or the amount of money that you were comfortable selling Koulibaly for, plus if they weren't very confident in being able to bring in a viable replacement for him, then why not just keep him? Why weaken your team and risk, you know, finishing outside of the top four again for the second straight season? You don't want to do that. So keeping him, I have no problem with. I know Gattuso had said a few weeks ago that he would be ecstatic if Koulibaly ended up staying. And at least in the first two games this season, we've seen Koulibaly and Manolas play well together. I think Bakayoko in that midfield is going to provide some more protection for that back line. I really like Napoli. I definitely think that they should be mentioned far more in the Scudetto race than people are giving them credit for. So that was kind of a nice surprise signing for Napoli, getting Bakayoko on loan from Chelsea. Obviously, Victor Osimhen, which that signing feels like forever ago, but it was a summer signing. That is obviously the big move, though, for Napoli. And we've seen just how special he could be. He hasn't even scored a goal in Napoli's first two games, but how much he changes the dynamics of that offense. And again, we mentioned Lozano. I know that he was signed last summer, but he barely made any impact last season. It's almost like he's this new signing. So good job by Napoli and De Laurentiis in this summer transfer market. So we talked about Chiesa leaving Fiorentina and joining Juve. Fiorentina ended up replacing Chiesa with former Napoli veteran Jose Callejon. And it's kind of interesting. So Callejon was, you know, his contract expired in Napoli. It was all thought that he was going to return to Spain. For whatever reason, he never signed with a La Liga side. And then he made the comment once he joined Fiorentina that, you know, he kind of always wanted to stay in Italy. That's where him and his family wanted to stay. And again, you just wonder, one, if he wasn't getting the right offer to return to Spain, which is what it was believed he wanted to. And I kind of, I don't know that Napoli wouldn't have wanted him back if they knew Calejón's desire was to stay in Italy, because, again, you know, if you remember, Mertens was trying to convince Calejón to re-sign with Napoli. So you just wonder if he did want to move on from Napoli. I'm not sure. I know he loved it there. But I think, you know, it's a nice replacement for Fiorentina to replace Chiesa with him. Calejón even came out and said, look, I'm not Chiesa. I'm not that type of talent. And he's right. He doesn't have that high of a ceiling. Obviously, Chiesa is dramatically younger. He's in his young 20s. Calejón's in his early 30s. But I don't think that losing Chiesa and replacing him with Calejón is going to really impact Fiorentina that much this season. It's not like this club was ever going to challenge for a top four spot and qualify for the Champions League. Even qualifying for the Europa League was a stretch for Fiorentina this season, you know, unless everything kind of fell into place for them. So in terms of selling Chiesa and replacing him with Calejón for the short term, again, it's not going to have any real significant impact on where they finish this season. There'll still probably be like a club that finishes in that 8-9 range. So there's no problem there. And it's clear that, you know, in Florence, you know, Gaetano Castrovilli, he's now the main man in Florence. He's the player that Comiso has to, you know, build this club around. He's the player that he has to convince to stay here long term, something he couldn't do with Chiesa. I think it was a good job that they didn't sell Milinkovic because they couldn't afford to lose their best defender. They've been kind of weak in the back this season, so keeping Milinkovic will help them. Obviously, we know they brought in Bonaventura, they brought in Amrabat. Ribéry has shown when he could be. Christian Kwame is a player that they brought over in January, but he was injured. He really didn't really contribute much to Fiorentina in that second half of the season with his injury, so it's almost like he's a new signing. So I do think Fiorentina have some nice pieces moving forward. Certainly, if they had kept Chiesa, it would have made things a lot more easier for this, you know, project that Comiso was trying to build there in Florence. But again, short term this season, losing Chiesa and replacing him with Calejón, no issue there. Calejón has proven to be a good talent and a player that could get it done here in Serie A. So I kind of like that move. It was a bit of a surprise to me again when I heard that Calejón was going to sign with them. I thought for sure he wanted to return to Spain. So again, it was kind of surprising that he left Napoli and ended up going to Fiorentina, but I certainly wish him the best of luck in Florence. Some other moves that I really liked, I thought Verona signing Nikola Kalinic was a good move, a player that has Serie A experience. If you recall last season, Verona couldn't, you know, score if their life depended on it. They did have one of the better defenses, and that was a main reason why they were able to finish in the top 10. But I do think, you know, Ivan Juric is going to be hoping that Kalinic could help to solve that problem and provide this Verona side with some consistent goal scoring threat going forward. So we'll see. That we know that Verona lost some key defenders in Kumbula and Romani to Napoli and Roma respectively. But I think Verona are going to certainly rely heavily on Kalinic to provide that goal scoring threat. So that's a move I liked. I liked Kondreva joining Sampdoria. He kind of already made an impact in his first game. So we'll see how Kondreva, you know, forms a partnership with Cagliarella going forward with Sampdoria for Ranieri's side. And I also really like what Benevento did. They kind of gave people in Zaghi a few new weapons in attack with Gianluca Lapadula, Gianluca Caprari, Iago Falque from Torino. We've already seen Lapadula and Caprari score some goals for Benevento. They have 6 points out of their first three games. No one had them getting any points against Inter. So I think for Benevento, 6 points out of first three games is about as good as you could ask for. For people in Zaghi's side, they've kind of, again, they've equipped him with some weapons. They signed Camille Glick earlier in the summer to give them a veteran defender, which I really like. So I think a good job by Benevento. For me, the summer signing that has the greatest potential to be an absolute home run has to be Victor Osimhen to Napoli. If he really hits his ceiling, if he reaches his potential and just becomes a player that people believe he could be, that, for me, out of all the summer moves, has the potential to be the best one. I would put the Chiesa to Juve as the second biggest potential. I think in terms of the big profile moves that is the lowest risk is Hakimi to Inter. I think it's pretty certain that Hakimi is going to become a very special player for Inter. Again, we've already seen him make it that impact in his first few games at Inter. I think Osimhen and Chiesa have a little bit more of a risk possibility in terms of they could potentially not be as great a player as we think. You know, if things don't go well, these are, you know, offensive-minded players. Sometimes I think, you know, the offensive-minded players tend to be players that obviously have a bit more of a risk factor. I think Hakimi at Inter, especially under Antonio Conte in that system, is just a dream match, a match made in heaven. That's why from the second I heard that move, that was the move that I loved the most. And just one other final takeaway from this summer mercato. I think it was great that we saw Serie A as a whole able to attract young foreign talent, but also to keep their own young talent in Serie A in Italy. Which wasn't always the case not that long ago. I mean, we saw Sandro Tonali leave Brescia, but he ended up staying in Italy, joining Milan. We saw Kulusevski. That, I know that was moved back in January, but he went from Parma to Juve, so he stayed in Serie A. We saw Victor Osimhen come over from Ligue 1 and join Serie A, so we saw one of the better young talents decide to leave their domestic league and come play in Serie A. We saw Chiesa end up staying in Italy. That's all he wanted to do, was stay in Italy. So good job by Juve snagging him up. Hakimi coming from, I know he was on loan at Borussia Dortmund, but the sale was from Real Madrid. So Inter attracting a young talent like Hakimi. So it was good to see that Serie A was able to attract this young talent. Whether it was keeping young talent in Italy or attracting young talent from abroad, I think that's all kind of just going into the notion that, you know, we are seeing Serie A certainly on the up and up. It's certainly a league that is getting back to where it once was. It's obviously has a ways to go, but we are seeing certainly a more attractive Serie A to foreign talent, to even the best young talent in Italy. So that's certainly something promising and a trend that I certainly am hoping to see continue going forward. So that will do it for the 18th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Thank you to all those who do subscribe and listen, and a special thank you to my loyal patrons. Link to my Patreon site is in my Twitter bio, and until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.